So, hello everyone. Today we have Janet with us. Janet is an experienced product professional with a career spanning both startups and corporations. She has previously worked with companies like Medwing and Blinkist, and more surprisingly, at Commonwealth Bank in Australia. She has worked in multiple roles as a user experience designer, a CRO manager, and many more. In her own words, Janet is a constant learner and explorer, fueled by curiosity, always searching for the next field where she can challenge herself and contribute to something bigger. I'm definitely a fan of her energy and enthusiasm to solve problems quickly. Janet, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karan. I'm super excited to be here. And thank you for helping to introduce me. This is actually the first time I've been on a podcast. So it's also very cool for me as well. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I worked with Janet while I was working at Blinkist, and I thought it'd be great to talk to you because you were the first person I worked with so closely who was a product manager. And, you know, as you might already know, CRM people don't get to work with product managers very closely. And in that project, I think, you know, I had a turn on how CRM and product can work together and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a cool episode to get your insights there. But before that, I would love for you to walk through, like, you know, your career and your trajectory so far, like your experiences doing so many roles within so many types of companies. It'd be great to start there, maybe.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I am a product manager. I know lots of people in the tech industry and maybe on this podcast will be familiar with what a product manager is, but in case you're not, it's someone that basically leads a team of usually developers, because we work in tech, and designers, and basically a cross-functional team to make changes to usually a digital product. And you basically are acting as the strategic leader, making decisions on what should be done, what is the priority, and then how does that translate into specific requirements that the developers and designers can go away and work on, and all the way down to project management. So it's really an end-to-end role. It's really a hot topic these days. It's kind of a little bit different in every company, but it's also very interesting because it's never boring. So how I got started in it, which was about 5 years ago, is I'm originally from Australia. Like Kara mentioned, I started off in actually a big corporate called the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. It's Australia's largest bank. And I just came out of university very fresh, didn't know anything about tech development, software development, had to ask someone what agile meant in my interview. but yeah, it was a graduate program, which was great. So they gave us a lot of onboarding and help to understand everything. And there I basically began as like a graduate product owner. And I learned about app development because I worked on developing a very interesting product. It was a experimental banking app. So trying to test new features that might go into the main app. But ever since then, I wanted to get into real tech companies, you know, startups, so not big corporates, even though I learned so much at that bank. So I've worked at a lot of different companies. First of all, two marketplaces. So in Australia, I first worked at a freelancer marketplace where people hired freelancers, aptly named freelancer.com. So I was in charge of improving the mobile app there. We had to revamp the whole thing. It was a very big project and a lot of people, very big team, but learned a lot. And then worked at Mabel, which is a marketplace for in-home carers in the health space. And then there it was also an interesting challenge about understanding how to improve marketplace dynamics, but through one side of the marketplace. So I was in charge of like the worker side. How do we encourage them to change their behavior so that our clients are happy, but also they're happy? And it's also very interesting because through, I think, these two companies, I first encountered what's called network effects, which I'll come to later, which is very applicable to what me and Karan worked on together at Blinkist. So yeah, then I moved on to Berlin. My journey came to Berlin for my big adventure. And I worked very briefly at a healthcare company called MedWing, where we were trying to help nurses improve their job application process and also shift workers manage their shifts easier. So we developed an app for that. And most recently, I worked at Blinkist with Karen and worked on a super interesting feature and strategy of basically Blinkist is an app that allows users to learn very quickly through audio and text summaries of nonfiction books. But it was very much a single player, you know, operation, and people just did it on their own. But how could we make things social and engage them further that way? And we developed this feature called Spaces. And that's probably what we'll go into a little bit further about today. But it was also the first time that, you know, like Kara mentioned, I'd experienced products and any kind of marketing, whether it's CRM or other kinds of marketing, worked really, really close together because I'd worked with marketing before, but always as like an afterthought or like a siloed function. And I think both of us realized when we're working close together, like it should be like this all the time, especially in the context that we had. So yeah, I think that's why we are talking today.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for walking through your entire career so nicely and briefly, Jared. I was wondering, by the way, within all your experiences leading up until Blinkist, you mentioned like marketing was always super disconnected. Was that always, or what was the stage where you typically involved marketing teams, and like to what extent? Was it always like a brief, or was it something where you worked at least closely enough that you could control what tone of messaging or what kind of content marketing team was putting out? And I ask because I see a lot of teams often have marketing teams that get, you know, basically get a brief from the product team that they've launched this feature. And then they leave up to marketing team to sort of, you know, craft the tone of voice, the messaging, etc. And I've seen sort of both spectrums of it, right? So what was your experience largely working with all these different companies, right, at different stages as well?
Yeah, great question. I think if we go back to where I learned a lot of the proper way of doing things when I was working in the bank, you know, I learned firstly about basically a requirement document. Nowadays, some call it a product requirement document or a specs. And as a product manager, this is like your living document for what are we building, why, what are the details of it, the whole entire project plan. And I think it's so standard for all of these documents to have a section that's like launch plan. And then launch plan is just like, okay, work with marketing on comms when we're about to launch. And that's pretty much, I think, the status quo for product working with marketing. It is an afterthought. It's like, yeah, ideally as a product manager, you should keep people in the loop the whole way. But it's for marketing, it's more like, I'm just letting you know, we're building this, it's coming. And then when we're about to launch it, oh yeah, how do we let our users know? Maybe an email, maybe a, I don't know, social media post. Okay, what copy, what creative? Okay, let's launch it, let's go. I think that was the extent of it, if you do it properly in the traditional way. But having worked at many different startups, it's interesting because some startups, as all startups, are chaotic in their own way and in different ways, which is what makes it fun. Some of the companies I work with, we didn't have a marketing department at all. So, for example, freelancer.com, we were expected just to figure out how to promote our feature ourselves. But then it was also very annoying because, you know, as a leader of a development team, we always thought of, oh, how do we code this? How do we code a message to our users that something new is coming? Whereas if we had, you know, an expert in marketing, you could be like, well, there's tools for this. This is very easy. So then we can just focus on what's important, which is the messaging and the creative. And then when you came to other startups I've worked with more recently, I guess Blinkist was a bit like this before we started working together. There is a whole marketing department. And I would say their function is twofold. One is like they focus on top of funnel acquisition and conversion optimization. So they have their own growth targets and they just do that, which is also interesting because growth can be done by both product and marketing. It's interesting how different companies split that in two different functions. The other one is product marketing. It's like, oh, product launched something, they need to tell the users about it, okay, we'll send a little campaign for them. So I think that's probably the norm for startups nowadays who have a marketing function. And then to answer your question about then how do you work together? I mean, ideally, even though it's only coming together at the very end, product managers and marketers should still sit together and be like, let's agree together on what the messaging is, what the tone is, what assets are. I think that is the extent of what collaboration is, unfortunately.
I totally echo that, by the way. Like I started working or in CRM from HelloFresh, and at that point HelloFresh was so big that their product teams were very well developed, and even at a company which was, you know, very tech first, very sort of advanced in the ecosystem, even then I remember CRM teams were usually the last step of the process, and not even to the extent where, you know, where we knew exactly what was going on or why we were launching a certain campaign, let alone the insights behind it, right? Like one thing, and we'll come to that in a bit, but like one thing when I was working with your team was I was just amazed at like how deep insights you had on your users, and you know, you were the hold you had on the metrics and reporting. I remember we used to look at our targets every sync and find out like how do we do that, how do we move that metric. And I think like that was high octane CRM for me. Like I when I was working in that team, I thought, okay, this is how, if I had that kind of information every week, I think it could be such a powerhouse of like what CRM can do or complement product. But yeah, maybe we talk about that, right? Like, so maybe at Blinkist, like when you came in, I know you spoke about it briefly. You know, you were there to lead their, I think it was the first social community part of Blinkist, right? That you were trying to build. Can you maybe tell people who don't know about it a bit more about what you were trying to do?
Yeah, sure. Before I go into that, I just wanted to comment on your last point about you being so impressed with how we in product, you know, delve into the details, because I feel the same, but about CRM, I feel like you guys also have so much data and knowledge of, you know, what campaigns work, what kind of messaging work, what tones, what copy colors, and those things can be a way faster and more efficient way for us to get user insights that we in product maybe take too long to get the same insights, you know. So it works both ways. To come to what happened at Blinkist, so when I joined Blinkist, we were just starting to try and figure out a way of introducing social engagement as a way to increase general overall user engagement. And we wanted to launch a feature called Spaces. This is now live. It's basically a feature which allows users to invite people they know to share titles with each other on the platform. So we started to work very closely with CRM, I think at first, not because we realized this was just intrinsic, but more because this was a high priority project in the company and we wanted it to succeed. So we're just like, let's just get everyone to help. But I don't think, because when I joined, it was already in progress, but at its very early stages. And I could see that, you know, lots of people were on this project, but specifically with CRM, there still wasn't a decision on what was the best way to work together. And that came across because I found a lot of different hurdles working together with CRM. And I realized that, you know, again, it was this traditional way of thinking of, okay, CRM is just there to get more people to use this feature. And by using this feature, we mean create a space or invite a user, and that's it. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized this is not enough. We actually need CRM to make sure the feature is successful all the way through. And by that, I mean not people just creating a space, inviting other people, but them continually interacting with each other. And this was a super interesting topic for me because I mentioned before the concept of network effects. So network effects are a phenomenon that happens in any kind of platform where users have to interact with each other. So this is a social network or marketplace, and it basically means that you not only have to encourage users to do certain actions, you also have this other uncontrollable element where users are interacting with each other and you want them to continually interact with each other. And when you have that, you can't just hope that they do it without trying to encourage them to do it a bit more. By that, I mean, we had users sharing books with each other, but maybe the other person didn't even know that a book was shared with them. They have to actively open the app to find out. And if they did share a book with the other person, then the sharer didn't know what happened after. You know, did the other person read it or not? Did they even see that I shared it? Like, these are all things, if you look at the most popular, you know, social media platforms of today, on Instagram, like, notification is such a key feature. You instantly know if someone likes your post, has seen your story, blah, blah, blah. And we didn't have that for Spaces. And the very clear answer is we need someone from CRM to embed this. CRM is not only a function that helps to just promote a feature in general, it's a function that helps users know at every stage of their life cycle what is the next best thing to do. So this was something that I felt like was a gap at Blinkist, and I tried to really invigorate that kind of thinking amongst everyone so we can work properly together as two functions as one.
That's so great to hear. I think, like, you're the first product manager who has explained CRM so successfully, and, you know, who gets the that's the core message of it. No, because I think it at core what you're saying makes so much sense. And, you know, what I'd love to know is, like, typically when I work with companies, I see that, and especially with product managers, I see that they have this understanding at a level where it makes sense, right? It's logical. It makes sense that you should be doing or working on this. It's the part of getting CRM involved, you know, putting in that initiative to, and it has a lot of problems, right? Like, sometimes the problem is that just the leadership team or, you know, the team, the people leading product don't believe that it's such an important part of the puzzle. And sometimes it's just that, you know, the impact is unclear. The ROI on the time invested to build such a capability is also not very clear. How did you get to that point where you said, hey, you know, like, we definitely need, like, someone or something to engage our users and not just use CRM as an acquisition, so to say, for Spaces, but something that is also used for engagement and retention of Spaces and eventually growing it, right? Because to your point, any app with network effects would only grow if you are constantly engaging and retaining these basic users for your app. So how did you start with that process? Was there, like, a certain person who told you about, like, you know, have a look into it, or what sort of sparked that attention where you were like, no, actually, this, there is something there that we need to maybe pay attention to or maybe get more involvement from?
Yeah, good question. You're right that, you know, lots of product managers, including me, we have this general feeling like, oh, product and marketing should work closer together. But I think until you actually experience specific hurdles, you don't realize how necessary it is and how it should be done. So for me, when I first realized, was like specific things like, oh my God, we need a notification for users to tell them that your friend has, you know, shared a book with you. So how do we do that? And at first, it wasn't even a philosophical, strategic, we must work together as two functions. At first, it's just like, okay, we can either do this through engineering, or the other way is lots of notifications go through CRM. CRM are usually the one that build notifications. So I guess it's faster through CRM because they already have a tool. So it's very easy. We don't have to build everything from scratch. So at first it was like that. And then it became like, okay, there's quite a few of these. Actually, it does make sense because they are the ones that, you know, think about the touch points along a user's journey. So actually they should also be thinking about this from a strategic perspective. It's not just me telling them, hey, build this notification. That's also not what I want my CRM colleagues to be like, just like code monkeys building whatever I tell them to build, you know? So that was when I realized getting leadership to realize was a mixture of me telling that same story that I told you before, like, hey, this feature is not the same as what we had before. Before, Blinkist was a single player product. It didn't have network effects. But now we're doing social, we have network effects. And it's super, super important that users know what other users are doing in relation to them. And then the second part was, but when you tell that story, people are like, yeah, yeah, I get it. But they don't experience the actual pain until they try it for themselves. And this is why I think for any company, it's not just products, not just marketing, anyone who's working on any kind of product, you should dog food. You should dog food your own product. And by that, I think this is a term coined by Microsoft. Not everyone likes this term, but it just means using your own product. And we had the leadership team try to use Spaces to share titles with each other. And they were like, why am I not getting this notification? Why am I not getting that notification? And I'll come back and be like, precisely, we would like your help to prioritize maybe someone from CRM to help us with this kind of stuff. And I think once they felt that pain themselves, they were like, oh, okay, I get it. So this was also a missing piece.
So you mentioned like there was this need that was super evident, you know, to everyone using the product, basically. And it was more evident maybe in your case because it was, it's a social platform. For other apps, I think it's maybe not so clear when you build features that this is something that CRM can add value to. Is there now, having worked with CRM teams, is it something that you would, let's say in your next role, if you were working for a product which didn't play on the social aspect of it, my open-ended question would be like, how would you then try to include CRM, or maybe would you still be on the fence and would need to see an ROI there, or like what would be your perception now going into a new product or building a new product feature and then using CRM for it, right? Like how would you rate its importance, or how would you go about answering that yourself?
Yeah, really, really good question. I think in an ideal world, I think in any company, you should split teams or functions not by what can they do, but what is their goal? What are they striving towards? And if you had teams that were working on a social product or a product with network effects, then you would naturally say, okay, user touch points is very important, so you need someone from CRM there. But that's not the only goal that needs a very high touch point from CRM. Another one is general growth. So growth is a huge topic that's developed over the past few years. At first, it had this weird name called growth hacking, and then people were like, that sounds weird, so now let's call it growth. Growth is a lot of basically what marketing and CRM have been doing already for decades. That's the function that they started with, but now it's like also a trendy thing in product. So you have growth-specific product managers. So that's also another area where I think you really need, not just benefit, strong collaboration between product and CRM. Beyond that, I think it depends. I haven't worked enough in other types of products to know, but maybe there are other scenarios where it's really beneficial to have a very close collaboration. I do think, though, in general, all functions should try to have learning sessions with each other, even if you're not regularly working together, just to share learnings. Like, for example, we already mentioned, like, you thought product had so many great user insights because we do research, we do surveys, things like that. But I thought CRM had such great data because you guys are running experiments so quickly and you knew so many, like, granular things that we didn't know about what worked. And those things, if you'd shared with each other, could also be super beneficial. So I think it really depends on the scenario, but in general, sharing of learning is super useful and important.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very curious about it because I think there was also Roma from Lovu. She's the head of CRM there, who came on for an episode, and they recently became like, they moved their entire CRM team from being a marketing function to a product function. And then she was talking about like how she started by just attending product meetings and inviting product folks to CRM meetings, even if they didn't understand a lot of things, it was more like, okay, these are some possibilities that we are working with. These are some of the projects we are working with. And eventually it got to a point where they were like, okay, this definitely needs to be something we work on together if you're building a new feature or if you want to communicate anything at all to our users.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, because when I mentioned just then, like, growth is one area that product and CRM should work really close together. But some people say growth is everything is growth. There's nothing that's not really growth, because in product, we sometimes split growth into three main areas: acquisition, retention, and monetization. And pretty much that covers most of product already. So at some point you could say everything is growth, and if everything is growth, then everything requires CRM. But obviously, like, look at whatever specific project you're working on.
Absolutely. And while you were working for, so let's say you started working with the CRM teams, especially at Blinkist, you know, you mentioned that there were a lot of hurdles, right? Because I imagine also from both the perspective, because I remember starting to work with you, and maybe now I can tell you this, if not then. But basically, you know, at that point I felt like, okay, this is super fast paced, right? Like, it's every week we were launching new experiments, and I enjoyed it a lot. But I could also see how it might frustrate a lot of CRM professionals, because maybe that's not something we're used to at a normal company, or, you know, that pace of working, that pace of digesting insights and then finding out how to do things. I could see that being like one of the hurdles from a CRM perspective, but also just understanding the tech side of it. For example, I see one thing that I had to learn very quickly while working on this project was how to think long-term quickly. You know, like, we were asking for new tech setups, and usually product teams take so long in a normal setup to deliver some requirements for CRM. That I was very cautious. I'm very used to spending a month working on the, you know, what we need, prioritizing it, etc. And I was working with you guys, I think it was like, you need this, event. Okay, we're going to get that to you in like half a day or something. And I feel like that's something that was super fast paced, and I needed to be on my, I needed to be on my best to understand, like, okay, what do we need? Do we really need something, etc. So those were some of the hurdles that I felt, could come in the way of, working very efficiently with product teams. What were some hurdles on your side? Like, what were maybe when you started working, you know, what were the common questions that you were thinking about? And of course, we'll not name names, and this doesn't reflect the CRM team at Blinkist, because they're awesome. But you know, what did you feel as personal hurdles in that journey?
Yeah, good question. Just to reiterate, when I say I had hurdles working with CRM, I definitely see it as a product of just both functions never having had to work like this before, and me just trying to slowly encourage us to work in this new way. I'm not trying to say it was either side who was like less inclined to work together. We were just not used to it. And I think, just to touch on what you said about this really fast pace and a bit chaotic, yeah, totally don't think that was the right setup. I mean, it was probably a result of us also not realizing in product that we needed all of this. And then we were like, suddenly, oh my God, we need all of this. Why didn't we have this before? These touch points before. So that's why I think it was a bit chaotic and kind of rushed. But yes, ideally in the future, we work at this at a more strategic kind of pace. From my end, the hurdles I had was, one, I think from a technical perspective, I mean, we work on different tools. I mean, I, as a product manager, I don't code myself, but I lead a team of developers, and I understand somewhat, you know, the software development lifecycle. And for CRM experts, you guys have your own tooling, and we're not really familiar with that. I remember having a few different learning sessions just to learn about how Braze works, for example, and even going in and trying to use Braze myself to be like, oh, this is how it works. Oh, wow, it can do all of these things, but actually it can't do this other thing. And those things helped me to understand a lot of what's possible and what's not, and what things you guys as CRM experts have to consider when you're trying to build things. Because then we won't just be like, oh, why is it taking so long to do this thing? Or why can't we do that? And actually, as a product manager, I would say it's kind of parallel to being, if you're a new junior product manager and you're not very technical, you have to do the same thing when you're learning how developers of different stacks work anyway. Another hurdle, I think, was just this thing around when I said before, I prefer when companies shape their teams and functions around goals, not around what's our function. And I think a lot of companies suffer from this problem of, okay, marketing, we are just marketing, even though technically you are also supporting some product teams, which might have some different goals. So in that way, I think it's probably hard for you in marketing to prioritize, right? You have to help the product teams, but then you also have your own goals. So obviously, you know, it's not a complete collaboration, and it's a constant negotiation as to, okay, when would you be able to finish blah and blah. That's another hurdle, but I think that's just a general goal alignment problem that many companies have. And I know it's not perfect and you can never get complete alignment. And then the third hurdle maybe is just this general education of CRM. And by education, I mean, again, both functions needed to work together in a new fashion. And it was just that I realized it earlier. So I was just trying to tell CRM why we needed to work together, because Spaces is a very different product, and notifications and touch points are such a crucial aspect of it. And we've built everything else, and it's just that part that's missing now. So you guys are the savior. You guys have to really come in and help us. And without it, it's not going to be a successful feature. So just telling that story over and over again. And I think it started to work because with you, you know, you started to see why we were working, you know, things differently. And after you left, we had new joiners to come and support us. And from the get-go, they were also introduced to this new narrative. And we had a very structured setup from then on with this new narrative in mind. And it was awesome to see that transition through you and then through them as well. So I think those are kind of three things that I had to constantly work towards.
If you had to advise a CRM professional on working together with a product team, what would you recommend them do? Because I also feel like that was a big hurdle, you know, especially CRM typically has this divided world, right? Where you have CRM professionals who are good with data or understand the basics of, you know, tech or stacks or whatever it might be. And then you have like these content specialized CRM managers who are very good with copy, creatives. They understand what tone of voice works better, etc. Almost like your developers and designers in the team, right? Like, and I think like, so how would you go about, or what would be your advice if someone was starting to work with their product teams? Coming from that side, I think it would be interesting to know, what would you tell them as something that you should definitely do before you start working with a product manager on a project together?
It's so interesting that you mentioned that. Well, first of all, I don't think it's something you need to do before working with a product manager, because every product manager is different. Every CRM expert is different. So I think the best collaboration comes when the two people come together and just tell each other how they work and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And related to that point, I thought it was very interesting what you said about, you know, CRM experts come in different flavors and it's similar to designers and developers. But I also say it's very similar to product managers themselves, because we as product managers, we are not an expert at any part of the software development lifecycle, but we have to understand a little bit of each one. And it's very natural that each product manager is a little bit better at one part or the other. So whether that's understanding the technical parts, understanding the user experience, or the user insights, understanding data, or understanding strategic business vision planning. So very similar to a CRM expert, like one person could shift one way or another. So maybe it's very useful for a CRM expert to think about, okay, what are my strengths? Because I almost think of CRM experts as having a very similar job to product managers, except you can do everything yourself. Product managers, we just lead a team to do the maybe a slightly larger project, right? So think about maybe what your own strengths are and how that marries to what I just described for a product team. And then when you can sit down with a product manager that you want to work with or you're supposed to work with, and then discuss, you know, what kind of product manager they are. And then I think the most useful thing is probably understanding end-to-end how each other work, because like I said, it was so useful to have those brace sessions to understand, oh, this is how you come up with copy. This is how you put it in. This is what a canvas is. This is how you do A/B testing. This is how you get data. And likewise, the product manager maybe can walk you through how they develop product with their team. This is how you do discovery. This is how quickly we usually implement something, because product teams also come in different flavors. Some of them work on really big features that take, you know, months to ship, ideally not months, but weeks. Some of them do tiny experiments and launch something like every week. Once you understand, I think, the process of each other and the strengths and weaknesses of each other, then maybe lastly, if you understand the focus, like what are your goals, what is this team focused on, then you have, I think, true alignment on all levels. And it's not so hard to imagine how you could work together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think like one additional point there is like when I started working with, I think Blinkist was the first project where I worked with a product team very closely. And then I had the chance to work with a few of them later on. And I always used Blinkist as a template to, you know, how you should work together with product teams, because I think the other aspect that was very clear to me was how little product, someone working in product knows Braze or the CRM tool that you're using, and how much, because you think you take things for granted when you're working in CRM. I remember opt-in rates as the example that that we spoke about initially, where if you remember, we were like, you know, at some point we were like, okay, why is the Spaces notifications not going to everyone? And something that was so ingrained in my head that I had never even thought of bringing it up was opt-in rates. And I said, well, you know, the opt-in rates are low. And then we all started like working with like, what are these opt-in rates? And I was so surprised to know how, for us, it's like the first thing you might learn if you're entering CRM. And for you, it might be something that is just so granular that you might never even look at that, you know, regularly. So I think there's just these education sessions, and, you know, similar to working with Eva, I think, the product designer from your team. I remember she once had a session where she was sharing her user learnings and the interviews, and I saw all these recordings of people talking about how they use Blinkist, and I was just like, I think that day I wrote 20-30 campaign ideas that I wanted to test, because I was just like, this is insanely rich form of data, you know. So yeah, I definitely agree.
And I think vice versa again, like it's just such a two-way street. I can only think of a very small example right now, but I think working with the CRM colleagues that came after you, Karen, we were about to launch like a big iteration of Spaces. And yeah, it also occurred to me that, you know, many people aren't even familiar with the process of launching an app, a new app version, because we had a lot of different questions from our CRM colleagues on, oh, but what version do we target? Wait, on what stage, at what day, at what time? So what do we put in Braze? And then I realized, wow, this is actually very confusing information as well if you're not familiar with the app development process, because it's also different for websites versus apps as well. So that was also something that we had to be like, okay, this is something we need to be very, very clear and educate people on.
Yeah, absolutely. I still, I can't say with certainty that I understand app versions. Like, I'm also that CRM person who goes to my product manager and is like, okay, which app version was it again? You know, like, or because, yeah, I mean, so I guess there are just basic knowledge exchange sessions that need to happen before you get there.
Yeah, but actually, sorry, one last example that's actually a bit more meaningful was after you left, we had a big hypothesis on a slight pivot of spaces because we started to see in the data that a lot of people were using spaces by themselves, so potentially just organizing their titles on their own. So we decided to merge spaces into the library feature. Before it was a separate tab. And when we decided to do it, we had some confidence that it would be a good idea, but not complete confidence. So we were just like, well, let's do it and hope for the best. And the only piece of really, really good evidence that we had, and it was a really good piece of evidence, was that our CRM colleagues decided to test very, very simple copy test of, instead of saying, hey, try out spaces, it's a way to share titles with your friends and family, they change the copy to, hey, try out spaces is a new way of organizing your titles. And boom, we saw like a huge increase in engagement and adoption of the feature. And that gave us so much confidence and so much good signals to go ahead with this merge that we wanted to do.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? And that actually reminds me that one of the biggest pros of working, you know, of product and CRM working together is like these almost CRM can be a testing ground for a lot of things product wants to test, right? Like not only tone of voice, but certain features. I recently worked on a gamification project for a health and fitness app, and it was something where it was always in the backlog. They were debating it, if they should do it, you know, or invest their time doing such a project. And with CRM, we could build like a, let's say an MVP that of course wasn't perfect, but it gave users the taste of you know, how this gamification project would look like. And it resulted in such a big impact on their week one retention, and even like, you know, subsequent purchase, that I think we checked the data for longer than how long the project took place, because they were just like, okay, we need to make sure that this is super valid data. And there are tons of use cases like that, right? Like what you mentioned, even user surveys. I remember we did a bunch of those when we were working together, where it was like a super quick survey. And I think at some point we just got addicted to doing a survey to answer our questions. We're like, yeah, let's ask our users, you know, what they value. And so, yeah, I think that's also one thing that is super underplayed or underestimated, like how big a role CRM can typically play for product teams to even support them in, you know, in understanding what their final version could look like before they invest their time and efforts there. Or one last thing actually on Blinkist was the org structure, because after working together with you, you know, one thing that I started really believing in was this shared resource, shared CRM resource for, you know, when you're working with product teams, because I have now come across teams where there is a dedicated CRM resource in a product team, and that role becomes more like a product marketing manager. And my reservation against that kind of setup was, if the CRM team or a CRM member is embedded into a product team as a dedicated resource, it becomes harder for the CRM person to have the overview of like what the CRM strategy is, and you know, and maybe they don't get to be that granular. Whereas in my case, I was a shared resource, so I could understand, like, you know, sort of, I was the bridge between understanding what CRM wanted to do, but also what you wanted to do, and then trying to find out what could be a best solution moving forward. So what type of org structures, like, what are your thoughts there, right? Like, do you think a dedicated resource makes sense, or, you know, what kind of criteria would you have in mind before making a decision like that?
I think if we decide like a team needs a dedicated CRM resource based on what we discussed before, I don't think it's any different from any of the other cross-functional members of a team, of a product team. If you think about it, engineers, designers, product managers, and in some companies, data analysts, I'm also a very big voucher for having a data analyst embedded in the team. That was also something that I vouched for at Blinkist. These people all are focused on the team, but have a way of maintaining alignment with their function. Like engineers, you know, they have overall engineering goals that they align on. They might have cross-team engineering projects they have to work on in parallel with their product projects, maybe as a slightly lower priority. Designers are always aligning with each other on, you know, what is our design language, what is our design system, what did we learn from our users recently. Data analysts as well, I think they also share learnings with each other. So I don't see why CRM experts who are embedded in a product team can't do the same. It's about having a focus, yes, on your project, and maybe it's not 100%, maybe it's 80%, but you still have these alignment sessions with the rest of your function on what the others in your function are working on, what is the overall strategy in your function, what are any function-wide projects that everyone's contributing to. I don't see how it's any different.
Yeah, I agree. And I remember at some point in time, once we were launching things, at some point in time, my resource was also quite a, you know, it was a mix between what CRM team wanted to do. It worked beautifully. Lovely. One last thing I would like to ask Janet, and before that, like, if you have more thoughts on Blinkist and CRM and product working together, feel free to you know, get those in as well. I would love to talk to you about like the product management trend that you mentioned recently, where you were saying how, you know, removing lines between product teams and getting to product marketing versus product, not having separate roles, but more of a merger amongst themselves. Is that a trend that you are foreseeing, or, you know, what were your thoughts there? Because I remember you mentioned it was Airbnb's founder, right, who said that they're removing growth teams. So what does that mean? And like, why did you think that it related to this topic specifically, actually?
Sure. So first and foremost, this example, this from Airbnb, I've only read a little bit about, so I can't say I'm representing it all accurately, but it was a very sensationalist thing that appeared in Product Management World last year, where the headline basically said, Airbnb is getting rid of product managers. And everyone was like, oh my God, what does this mean? Like, is product management no longer a role? If Airbnb is doing, what are we going to do? And then a lot of people then came out and tried to debunk it and be like, no, if you read exactly what happened, Airbnb, Brian Chesky, I think I'm a big fan of him. He has been innovating, like, not only on the product of Airbnb, but also the ways they work for a long time now. And one of the latest things he's trying is getting rid of product marketing and then kind of combining it with product management, is what I think happened. And I think this makes a lot of sense. I mean, in general, he's probably just trying to be efficient. But secondly, the whole theme of our talk today has been how can product and CRM or marketing more widely work closer together? And he must have seen the same thing where it's like, product managers do something, then they go to a product marketer and go, okay, just notify our users now. But their whole approach has been very different for the last few years. But now they just kind of cemented it with this role structure change. And if you look at how Airbnb does comms, you can see it. Like, they plan out all of their major changes into one big, news update. And every time I'm very excited. It's like, oh, Airbnb has launched 11 new things. And they do like not only a blog post, they do a shiny video. You go into the website is all updated with all of these new features and they point to where they are. Like they really think about it from the very start. Okay, in the next year, what features are we launching? What does that launch look like? And not just, okay, by November, maybe let's see what we'll have launched and then we'll just do a blog post update depending on that. No, they think about it from the very beginning because they know product marketing is super important and that means the two functions have to operate as one. So yeah, I think that speaks to why we have to consider in other company structures as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I read a report recently where they were talking about subscription apps and they were talking about like, if you take out the best, I know Airbnb isn't one, but as far as I know, at least, but all the other subscription apps, you have like this huge community factor that nowadays is one of the key differentiators between subscription apps that work versus subscription apps that maybe don't grow at a rate where they should be. And community is becoming such a big part of it that I feel like you can no longer be an app where you're just launching new features and relying on users to get it by themselves, right? Like I think also there are some other factors, right? Like where I guess our attention spans are getting smaller and smaller, so you need to be reminded maybe more often. I'm not sure, but I think it's definitely a trend where I'm seeing also a lot of subscription apps where users would have an app without using it for such a large extended period of time, without the app trying to even communicate to them once about like what they've been doing and, you know, how can they use or help the users achieve their goals, etc. So I think there's a huge opportunity there also in that vein of thought, right? Like you have, it's almost like acquisition, right? Like you spend so many resources acquiring users and then you leave your users to be retained on their own. And I feel it's kind of similar with product management as well. Like if you're building features for your users, but if you're unable to get them to understand what value it brings to them, then you're in both the cases, you are reducing your ROI, right? On the money that you've invested and the resources you've invested there.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I think it's, again, this same point I'm going to reiterate again of focusing on what is the goal you're trying to achieve with this project and this team rather than what function. Because I think like when we think in terms of function, we think we're really limited by what does this team do. And it just occurred to me now, you know, CRM traditionally sits in marketing, but marketing traditionally is all about acquisition. But CRM is applicable in so many different parts of a company, not just acquisition. So I think if you start to think about the actual goal, it makes more sense than be like, CRM is marketing, so we only focus on acquisition, you know. And then you have things like you said, like community. If we build a community feature, it's not trying to get people to do something they don't want anymore. It's that I posted something on a social media platform. I expect it as a feature that I get notified if someone likes it. It's not a nice to have. It's not a way to get me to engage.
Absolutely. That's wonderful, Janet. It was so nice talking to you today. And to get, I'm sure this is going to be a very good one for both CRM and product folks out there. So any departing thoughts before we end the episode? And I just want to say it's awesome talking to you after so long working together as well.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm super happy and excited that this was my first podcast. I mean, the topic is near and dear to my heart. As a product manager, you know, I am a big nerd about collaboration and getting people to work together. And it's awesome to have met you, Karen, at Blinkist, where we were both like big fans of figure out new ways to work together. And now we're on a podcast talking about it. So I think it's quite cool that whole thing happened.
Awesome. In that case, thank you so much, Janet, for being here today.
Cool. Thank you so much as well.